VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning, and it's 10 o'clock, and it's absolutely glorious outside. Go out and enjoy it, starting at 11, right after the show.
Or get your car and turn on our show.
Yeah, that'll work, too. Anyway, this is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we are here, as always, and we will be here for the next hour. And we'll talk about pretty much anything we want to talk about, unless, of course, somebody out there would rather talk about what you want to talk about, which is as easy as picking up the phone and dialing 904-222-8255. We cover, in our business and in our personal lives and all those things, we cover a wide variety of topics. It is not just a show about investing. You can hear those all the time. But it's a show about answering your questions, and that can be in the world of finance almost anywhere you look at it. Today I know we're going to touch on some other topics that aren't purely about the market, although that's certainly going to be an interesting look, because this week was what I have dubbed personally Stupid Week.
Okay.
And Stupid Week occurred this week between what I call bookends.
Yeah, there were a couple of nice things about this week, Monday and Friday being
exactly
both of them.
And that, despite the carnage, which wasn't really all that bad in the end.
No.
But despite that, it was a very encouraging end to a very discouraging week. And stupidity just abounds. Now, there are times when, in the market, all news is looked at exactly for what it is. It's analyzed and you respond to it, and that's fine. There are other times when every bit of news is taken as good news, and there are other times when every bit of news is taken as bad news. And I would say this week probably favored that. Is it abnormal? No. I mean, that's why I called it Stupid Week. We won't dwell on this very long, I assume, but as always, we will have Adam wrap it up for you, tell you what happened and what we think might happen next week.
Yep, you can pretty much sum up this week as easy as 1, 2, 3. The NASDAQ fell about 1%, the S&P fell 2%, and the Dow fell 3%. And the reason for that, that disparity between the indexes, is small versus large cap stocks. Large caps were hurt more than small caps on the announced tariff talk. The thinking in conventional wisdom is in the market that the tariffs will lead to a global trade war, which will hurt large cap stocks more because they have more international revenue. So that was the reason you saw the Dow a lot more volatile than the NASDAQ and even the S&P, where some of the smaller stocks kept up better than some of the larger stocks. So that was sort of the summary of the week. But February was pretty much a bad month for every asset class. There wasn't a lot of bright spots.
Can't say that I'm sorry to see it gone.
No, nor am I. But it was after more than a year of almost nothing but positive news for stocks. The last year has been one of those times when all news was positive news. So it had to come, and it's here, and it probably came as quite a shock to a lot of investors. But in my opinion, that's okay. We really needed to see some weaknesses in the markets. Stocks can't go just up. It's not normal. The ability of stocks to go down is what allows them to go up. It isn't always fun, but being an investor isn't supposed to be. So we just really got spoiled in 2017, and now we're kind of paying the price for that, in my opinion.
I liked being spoiled.
Yeah, so did I. I wish it would come back. But right now, that's not what is happening. So much of this week's turbulence was the Trump tariff talk. He's talking about putting a 25% tariff on steel and 10% on aluminum. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this later. We both are, actually. But the basic concern is the global trade war talk. In February, we saw the S&P drop by 3.64%. The Dow dropped about 4.05%, and the NASDAQ, or QQQ at least, dropped 1.29%. However, in January, all three were up over 5%, so there wasn't a sector in February in the S&P that was spared. The winner, a quote-unquote winner, was technology, and it was down about 0.5%, but the big loser was energy, dropping almost 11%. Foreign stocks got hit even harder than domestic ones in a lot of cases. Spain and China were down almost 8% in February. Even the safe assets like gold and bonds, or what's considered safe, were not spared. Gold dropped 2%. Silver dropped almost 5.5%. Natural gas was down over 11%. And the 20-year treasury was down over 3%. There just really was nowhere to hide in February. It just couldn't do it. On a positive note, though, the markets opened low on Friday and then rose steadily all day into the close. The NASDAQ was down over 1% early and ended up closing up over 1%. The Dow erased almost all of its losses on the day, and the S&P even ended up slightly positive. So overall, investors were looking to buy going into the weekend, same thing that happened last week, which makes me think that we might see a repeat of this past Monday, which was a really good day. So that got me a little bit excited for next week.
That's what I'm leaning to.
Yeah, and this week was such an overreaction. Yeah. It just felt wrong.
Yep.
There was a ton of economic data released this week, and unfortunately it was a little bit disappointing. Both new and pending home sales disappointed, mainly due to the ongoing problem of lack of inventory. It's great news if you're an existing homeowner, as it will put upward pressure on home prices, but it's terrible news for buyers, because not only can they not find anything to buy, but when they do, it's going to cost them more money to purchase, and interest rates are also going up. So if you're thinking about buying a home, start looking now.
They might be going up sooner than they think, too.
Yeah, definitely. There were a few other bright spots in the data, though. Initial jobless claims continue to plummet, coming in around a 50-year low. Consumer confidence is off the chart, and manufacturing is really going strong, although it's still a small part of our economy compared to the service sector. Another bright spot is personal income, which rose 0.4% last month.
Largely due to?
The tax cuts.
Yep.
And it might not sound like much, but it's a really big gain. 0.4% in a month is substantial. I wouldn't look for that number for the rest of the year, though, because we did get that sort of one-time benefit of the new IRS tables taking effect in February. So one really nice thing I saw this week was that Forbes rated Jacksonville as the projected top city in the country for wage growth in 2018, coming in at 7.81%. That's what Forbes is saying, wages in Jacksonville are going to grow this year. So I hope all of our listeners actually get those kind of raises.
We need it.
Yeah, definitely.
We've lagged a long time in those middle-paying jobs.
Absolutely. It's gotten better.
Yeah, it has gotten better.
But it's not quite up to the standards of other cities that we, quote-unquote, compete with, like Charlotte and Atlanta.
Yeah, we do other things around here now besides the basic old insurance industry and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think Jacksonville's on a really good trajectory right now, and it was actually rated the 16th fastest growing city out of all the ones that Forbes looked at. So good. Not bad.
Well, bring them in from the other coast, I say.
Yeah, it shouldn't be that hard.
The worst state to live in out of the 50 is California as of this week.
Well, who did that?
Quality of life type. I can't remember who put the study out, but they ranked number 50 out of 50 in quality of life.
Wow. That's
now, that,
surprising.
What can you do to ruin all the best that there is out there? Well, we'll tell you, but I'll make it a macro statement and tell you exactly what's going on in a lot of arenas across the country. And California is just, let's say, just leading the way as they always do. Everything starts on the coasts, whether it's fashion or whatever. It starts on the left coast, it starts on the right coast, and finally reaches the middle sometime. So California has led the way for a lot of things for a lot of time, and not all of it is something that I want to follow.
No, not lately anyway.
No, in fact, there's quite a bit of difference. All right, we'll talk about a bunch of things. We will have a trivia question right after the break, and it's about today being a very, very special day, which I will bring up in part of the question. So we'll have a lot of topics like that and more as soon as we get back. Stay tuned. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banway.
And I'm Adam Banway.
And today is, anybody know this one? National Anthem Day. Our trivia question today is about National Anthem Day. It's sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. It was 117 years in the making between when Francis Scott Key wrote the original poem and it becoming the national anthem in 1931. What was the original name of the poem that Mr. Key wrote upon seeing the sunrise over the fort and watching the flag still be there? He was a very devout man, and he felt very moved, and he sat down and penned a four-verse poem. I want to know the name of that poem. And that is today's trivia for National Anthem Day.
All right.
How about that? Did you want to wrap anything up on the...
Nope. No, we're going to move on.
We moved right past last week, didn't we?
Well, the only thing I'll mention is during the break, we were looking at the year-to-date numbers, and there's only one index that's even slightly down, really slightly, less than 1%.
And the NASDAQ.
Yeah, and that's the Dow at 0.7% negative. Yeah. The S&P's up the same amount, 0.7%. The NASDAQ is actually up 5.1% year-to-date, so... January was a really good month.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel like it today, does it?
No, it doesn't.
We'll see what happens. We can make all of this into fading memories real quickly if we come out of the chute on Monday, okay?
Yeah, a few good days would
well, the strange part go a long of this, way. I don't really want to get into this just yet in the show, but the strange part of it is it makes no sense.
No.
No. And not just the part about the tariffs, not just this and that, but it makes no sense in general because the economy is moving along so well. Rules of the game. Callers go first, Marshall.
Hey, Good Marshall. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How are you?
Another one of those things you can do while listening to the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Mow your lawn.
You can drive to Gainesville for a basketball game.
Ah, you're watching the UF-Kentucky game today?
Oh, yes.
Nice.
Now, I heard several different things this week, and I thought, I really have got to call the guys on Saturday. So my apologies if I'm asking you to be economics professors instead of financial planners.
Hey, if we don't know the answer, I'll make it up for you.
Thank you.
No problem.
But these issues about tariffs, I mean, I understand the term dumping. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But that would connotate that they are cutting the prices below the market. And I heard someone else from the aluminum industry talking about how their prices that they charge people they sell product to are a commodity. So the price is based on their particular trading, I think, is in London.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume steel is also a commodity.
More or less.
So if they're dumping, but the pricing is a commodity, that seems like some double speak or somebody with some fake news. So that's why I thought I would ask the expert.
All right, equate it to airline fuel if you want to see what's going on here. Remember when gas was hitting the $4 mark and oil was $100 a barrel? One company in the airline business made money that year. Do you know who it was?
Who?
Southwest. You want to know why?
They were effective in using their oil?
Better yet, they're effective in buying their oil.
Mm-hmm.
They bought years in advance on a contractually agreed price. They were not subject to the commodity market. Big users, let's say General Motors, Ford, the biggest users of steel, aluminum, and whatever, they contract their prices. It's the little guys like I was in the 80s that I always had to take the spot price, the commodity price. We didn't have many blanket steel orders. I had a couple of real heavy things that were repetitive, so I was able to make some use of that over time. But most of what we bought was a one-off. You go to the commodities market and you buy. So neither one of those things is right or wrong. It's just how much you are involved in the market. Is anybody out there willing to listen to your annual usage figures and cut you a deal or not? If yes, then you do your purchasing in advance and you can make some money. But it can work the other way too.
Yeah, you're going to pay on that.
Yeah, you're going to pay more. But what Southwest found and what they proved was that it is far better to be at a predictable price, so you can build the price of your product, which in their case is a ride somewhere on an airplane, so that they knew what the cost was going to be to them, and they could figure out how to make money even if they made less of it.
So I think
I understand that's the mortgage world. You know, a lender has to hedge their position on mortgages because the consumer expects to be locked in.
Yep, there you go. It's no different at all.
It seems strange to me, though. They had this spectrum that I did remember one of the presentations that were made that had Canada was 47% of the import of steel, and China was down at 15%. Yet the big story is China is dumping. So how true or false was that whole deal?
I couldn't begin to tell you. They're too specific.
My guess is that it's false because China has been the fastest growing country or fastest developing country in the modern world for a long time now. And my guess is that they're using most of what they produce. I mean, how could they not be? They're building buildings that no one even lives in just to build them. I would think that demand there is through the roof. If they represent 15% of our imports, is that even a big enough position to for anyone to notice if they were dumping? It just rings of not being true. I can't prove it one way or another. I don't have the data, but I think you're probably onto something, Marshall.
Okay. Well,
the other thing you need to keep in mind here is that the real definition of dumping means that the government subsidizes that industry in order for them to come in at a cost below market, sometimes even below their own cost, at a price below market, I mean. So a lot of companies in a lot of countries will actually sell something below what it costs them to make it because the government makes up the difference. Japan was particularly bad about that.
Or the government happens to own the business.
Yeah,
which is China's model. Government generally will own about 51%, if not more. So they have a vested interest in keeping the thing running up close to capacity. Not fair.
Thank you so much, Julian, for confirming my suspicions.
Yeah, I think you're probably onto something. We can do a little more research this week and look at that. I'm curious now.
It's going to be a hot topic this week, no doubt about it.
And I think it'll be a topic for a few weeks because obviously there was tremendous adjustment in the equities markets.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that probably will be kind of like that wave in the ocean. You know, it starts going one way and it kind of
bounces
around a little bit.
The thing I'm going to do in the second half of the show uses that very same analogy. Did I send you my notes in advance? I don't think so.
Nope.
Very good.
Thank you anyway.
We appreciate it. Enjoy the game.
Yes. Bye-bye.
And that whole topic, it's very complicated. We will be touching on it. I'm not going to make this into a class in economics, but you're going to learn some things about economics, too, if you listen.
Yeah, right. It's unavoidable if you talk finance these days to you have to bring in some economics and some politics. It's just the way of the world today.
Okay, well, I'm going to give out a prize right now, not for trivia. Most Creative Politicians Award for March 3rd of 2018 goes to the New Jersey Senate. You ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. New Jersey, New York, California, Illinois, you name them. The high state and local tax or SALT people, they got addressed, is a nice word, in the new tax law by limiting their residents to a total of $10,000 in annual deductions for the total of state and local taxes, which includes property taxes. And these states are very high. Now, at the same time, charitable deductions for everyone were not actually cut back. They were actually loosened up a little bit and that they can offset an even bigger part of your income now. So the very creative Senate in the state of New Jersey decided 28-9 that they're going to allow their municipalities to set up charitable funds to which homeowners would pay their annual taxes. Those payments would then qualify, according to the senators in New Jersey, for a federal tax write-off as charitable donations.
There's so many things wrong with this.
Shaking his head.
So if you're not following, the reason that they're doing this is that they are concerned they're going to start losing these high-income, wealthy individuals from their states to lower-cost states because of the increase in taxes that they'll have to pay. And so this is a pretty lame attempt to offset some of the tax law changes by lowering their own revenue and increasing charitable contributions, which on its surface, I don't really mind it. I mean, I'd rather have that money going to charities than to the New Jersey
but
government.
That's not but what those charities are going to be doing with it, is
no,
it?
No.
Let's see. The property taxes, average property taxes in New Jersey. You want to hear this one?
Yeah.
$8,690. Now, that does not include sales tax. It does not include state income tax.
Right.
That is the average property tax.
Wow.
Doesn't take long to go from there to $10,000, does it? Very strange. Okay, here's what's really wrong with it, folks. For tax purposes, what makes a gift is it is something that you give for which you get back nothing. It
except
is a gift.
Deduction. You get a deduction.
You get a tax deduction. You do not get a gift. You follow the tax code in order to do that. This, I promise you, I had trouble stopping laughing. I thought it was so good, but it's absolutely ludicrous. I've got to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
From the Divorce
Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And on the phones is Pat. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Absolutely excellent. And you?
Fine, thank you. And Lake City is absolutely stunning today.
Nice.
Well, it ought to be. Did you get any frost on the pumpkin last night?
No, not really.
It's treacherous out that way sometimes in that low-lying basement.
Yeah. The answer to the question is
yes.
The defense of Fort McHenry.
That is correct. Can you spell it?
Spell what?
Defense.
D-E-F-E-N-C-E.
Ah,
very
man,
good.
I should have
wow.
known you, of all people, would be on top of it.
Extra
how about,
credit.
How about the name of the fort? Can you spell that one?
Assuming capitals, F-O-R-T-M-C-H-E-N-R.
Ha, gotcha on one of them. Way back then in 1812, McHenry was M apostrophe H-E-N-R-Y.
That's... Well, you didn't ask me about the spelling back then.
Oh, all right, I stand guilty. Very good. Excellent. 117 years it took to morph that poem into our national anthem with the Star-Spangled Banner as the
all
title.
Right.
So
okay.
Do you think people would stand up and put their hand over their heart for the defense of Fort McHenry?
Probably not. Even if they're not even doing it for the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, that might be something to do with why I brought it up. That's another story. Oh, that's fine. I think we can find your address. Am I correct?
I think you could probably. Yeah, you probably could.
Okay.
And, Lane says that we are not from Lake City. We are from West Pontevedra.
Extreme West Pontevedra. Hey, be careful. You put Pontevedra in there and they might raise your taxes.
That's true. That's probably true.
Nobody knows better than I do.
I'm sure.
Anything else happening today? Any questions?
No, not for me.
Surviving the fall okay?
Yeah.
We'll be
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll be
I
back.
I know. It'll be back. And we don't, you know, that's one thing you don't panic over 1 or 2 days of
better not you won't live very long, that's for certain.
That's right.
All right, we appreciate it and we'll take care of it.
Okay, thank you. You have a good one.
Thank you. Take care of yourself. The defense of Fort McHenry.
Yeah, not what I would have guessed.
No, actually it makes perfectly good sense.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the overall situation, I guess, involved. But I'm not really sure. It didn't say in the articles I was reading how it wound up getting morphed over that much time. You know, there's a lot of controversy about one of the verses, too, and it's taken out of context. It means, apparently, to some people, something not so good, but it's just not so. Anyway, remember, it is National Anthem Day. All right, you were going to jump on a topic here.
Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about tariffs.
Okay.
I did a little bit of research on it and wanted to see why politicians sometimes like tariffs. So, first of all, what is a tariff? According to Investopedia, a tariff is simply a tax that adds to the cost of imported goods. This week, President Trump's talk of implementing steel and aluminum tariffs sent the market on a downward slope. So was that justified? Probably not. As even if everything that the president outlined in his plan happened, there is little to no chance that the average person would notice, and especially not in the next year, because most of those products are now purchased on long-term basis. So they probably have those prices wrapped up well through the end of the year. So even if it happens, not something that we'll see right away. So this market doing what it did this week based on that just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. However, if America continued to implement more tariffs on more industries, eventually it would hit us all in the place that hurts the most, and that's the wallet. Because one thing that tariffs do is raise the average price of what you pay for in your home country. So there's little doubt about that, but I don't think that
in the short run,
yeah,
we might add,
right? Yeah, that all, well, it depends how long the tariff lasts and how efficient those manufacturers. If let's say a steel mill went out of business years ago and now is ramping up, it depends on how efficient they are at producing, what the market will bear in terms of costs with those tariffs in place. So there's a lot of moving parts there. It does increase prices. I don't think there's anything to debate about that, but how much and for how long, I think there's a lot to interpret along those lines. There's a variety of reasons that people or politicians will do tariffs, from politics to government revenue to national pride to employment. From a political perspective, putting tariffs on a certain industry can make a politician very popular in certain parts of the country. For instance, putting a tariff on imported coal would probably garner votes in West Virginia. Tariffs lower sales of imports and increase domestic production, leading to job and sometimes wage growth where that product is produced. So you can imagine that if a politician needs support out of a certain industry, that could make him very popular.
And at the risk of interrupting you.
Oh, do we have a caller? All right.
It's Captain Dave.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Okay, what was the name of the melody?
Ooh.
Yo. You know, I should have expected you. I knew you'd know a bit more than the average person, and I am that average person.
It was a drinking song for a musical society in England called the Anachronistic Society, and it was called "Here to Anacreon in Heaven."
Now, is that true?
Yeah, it is true.
That's it. That's too crazy to make it up.
Wow.
So, that is very funny.
And is it God Bless America to Hail to the Queen? Which one is it?
I'm not sure.
It's one of the American songs is a takeoff on one of the Queen's, some song you sing to the Queen.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just thought it's
the Anachronistic Society. Out of time, out of place, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they were just a bunch of guys in 17-something or other got together and played music, and their chairman or whoever it was would get up and sing this song at the beginning, and then they'd drink, and then they'd play music and stuff. And Francis Scott Key or whoever it was put it together.
You know,
I don't think Scott Key actually put the two things together.
He may not have.
No, I doubt it, seriously. It took so long. Do you know how insurance got started?
Benjamin Franklin?
No, actually, a bunch of guys drinking in a pub in London. They started to sell. They started to front money for people who were shipping over to the colonies. And the shippers did not get paid, or they did not get paid, depending on who won, if the thing went down. So they were sitting around talking about their problems one day saying, you know, we could charge them a little more, and then they'd get paid even if the ship goes down. And that became a group of people who each kicked in some money, and they kicked in some more money, and things got pretty good. And today it's called Lloyd's of London.
Yep, there's a side story to that actually has to do with the courses I used to teach, and that is there's markers on the side of a cargo carrying ship called plimsoll markers.
Okay.
They're freeboard certificate. How much freeboard the vessel? That's the amount above the water.
Yeah, I've seen
that
them.
A vessel has to have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And before, Plimsoll was a guy who was one of the founders of Guinness. And what they used to do is they would actually sabotage those ships. They would. There was a whole thing. The guys that were putting the money up were called factors.
Mm-hmm.
And
they exist today.
There's still factors around. They'd be happy to loan you money.
Yep.
But anyway, they would insure the ship. And then they'd steal all the cargo and fill it up with rocks, and then they'd scuttle the sucker, and they'd collect the insurance. Of course, it was not good for the people who were working on the ship, the sailors.
No,
but Plimsoll made it a crusade. He became a member of the House of Commons, and it took him like 40 years to finally get these laws passed, and they're known as the Plimsoll Rules.
Huh.
So that's the trivia for the day.
Well, you are always interesting, and especially when it comes to anything that has to do with large bodies of salt water.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
Be good, Dave. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
All right. Where are we on the big time here? Okay, you can carry on.
Yeah. So sometimes, not in the most recent announcement by President Trump, but sometimes tariffs are the best way for a government to raise revenue. For instance, in Costa Rica, the import tax on automobiles is astronomical. For a vehicle less than 3 years old, the tax is 52.29%, but if it is older than 6 years, you will pay a tax of 79.03% on the total value of that car. Needless to say, cars in Costa Rica cost a lot of money, and people tend to drive their cars for a lot longer. And then in the Bahamas, 60% of government revenue comes from tariffs, so the basic tariff imposed on most goods is 35%.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've got some follow-up on those, too. When we were in the Bahamas, I asked the cab driver how much he pays in taxes, and he laughed at my face. He said, I don't pay taxes, you do. And that's exactly how it happened. Also, in Singapore, everybody leases for 3 years because there's a tax on a car that's 4 years old that makes it unable to be afforded. How about that? All right, we'll wrap all this up in one more segment right after the break. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And my crack research team has come up with the answer for Captain Dave. My country, tis of thee, also known as America, is the same tune as God Save the Queen.
Who knew?
It's so nice to have a staff online at all times. Once in a while, you just don't know everything on your little cranial capacity. So, where were we? We were wrapping up some tariffs.
Talking about tariffs. So sometimes entire industries are protected by tariffs simply because the country places a high value on their heritage of producing that product. For instance, the peanut industry in the United States is protected by huge tariffs. I mean, absolutely huge. They run from 131 to 163.8% depending on the status of the peanut when it arrives in the United States. What's the net result of this? We pay way more for peanuts than just about anywhere else in the world.
And which president was a peanut farmer?
That would be Mr. Carter. And employment is the last reason that politicians sometimes support tariffs. One of the largest tariffs in U.S. history was enacted in 1930 to increase employment during the Great Depression. The Tariff Act of 1930, or the Smoot-Hawley tariff, raised tariffs on over 20,000 imported goods. And many economists today think that this act contributed to the length of the Great Depression rather than lessening it.
And that might be arguable. A lot of people have argued that it caused it. But since it was signed after the...
It didn't cause it, they think that it added to the length.
All the stupidity back then did.
Yeah.
Tariffs are a lot different thing than now than they used to be. And I asked Adam during one of the breaks or before the show or whatever, said, who was the president before Trump, last president before Trump, who implemented a tariff? And he got it right.
I bet if he went back and looked at, I would guess that the majority of presidents at one point or another have put a tariff on at least one item.
I Googled all kinds of them. I did not do Bush 41. Obama, tariff on imported Chinese tires. Bush, imported steel.
Really?
Reagan, Steel also, I believe it was.
Okay.
You cannot find, Carter did it, by the way, you cannot find a president, or at least I was unable to, in recent history that has not imposed tariffs. But the old days, the Smoot-Hawley days, it was 20,000 items. Now, you can't justify that because that is just a protectionist law. It does nothing to correct a problem. Nothing. And it was done by people who, as you said, made things worse. But the modern forms of tariffs, going back to Reagan, going back to Carter, they're for a problem. The problem we have today is that there are a lot of countries who charge tariffs on things that we send to them, but we do not in return charge tariffs on what we get from them, making us non-competitive. The whole theory of something like NAFTA was that we're going to eliminate these things. But did we? No. That's why, and if you read NAFTA, you'll find that every 5 years it's supposed to be completely reviewed and modified to bring it up to current. It has never been done since the 90s. So the reason Trump is all over the case for NAFTA right now is he wants to make it fair. There are a lot of people who believe that fair trade and free trade mean the same things. In fact, there are a lot of people who believe that free trade means something that it has absolutely nothing to do with. They're the people who just want to impose our liberal values on other countries and make sure that we buy appropriate things at an appropriate price from the appropriate people. It's particularly big in the coffee imports and things like that. But I digress. The tariff today is meant to be targeted and temporary. When you hear the trade war thing, it's not going to be an all-out trade war. If somebody wants to have a trade war on steel, they're probably going to increase the tariffs on ours going into their country temporarily. They might charge us 20% now or 25% or whatever. They're probably going to double it. Well, okay. But is that the right answer?
No.
Obviously not the right answer. So we put a tariff on there saying, if you don't stop charging us, we are going to charge you to make the playing field level. Now, I look back and say, okay, all these people have done this to so many industries, and then they go away. Remember, you won't because you're not old enough, but a lot of you out there old enough to remember when we protected Harley-Davidson against the flood of Kawasaki's. And what happened? Harley took quick action. They implemented a quality control system that they badly needed because their bikes were just not good back then. In fact, I was involved in some of the quality control people back then, another whole story from a long time ago. But anyway, they improved the quality of their bikes and increased everything, the looks, the marketing, everything about them. And then before the expiration of the tariff, they went to Washington and said, please remove the tariffs.
Really?
Yes, ahead of time.
I didn't know that.
They did it because they were all of a sudden competitive. So, yeah, bring it on if you want to, but you don't have to. And that is how that one went away. And if you remember Chrysler under Lee Iacocca, something very similar happened where he said, okay, we're done now. That's it. We got a government guarantee on a loan. He went back and said, we don't need it anymore. That's it. So you're done. These things work because they're corrective, not because they're proscriptive or prescriptive. It's because they're solving a problem. Trump sees a problem in this area. He puts them on. He gets gassed for it all over the media. Obama did it on the tires, and he's so wonderful, he's saving our jobs. Okay, whatever. So if you heard Orrin Hatch this week about Trump's tariffs, it was one of the most disgusting displays of ignorance I have ever seen in my life, and it served to remind me why for the last three election cycles I've been saying he's got to get out of here. He says it's going to come back and bite us. Well, you know, Orrin and company, I've been around this earth for 67 years, and I paid attention for most of them. And the country that I was born into and the way we did business and the people's jobs and so on, if I could go back and time and correct some of it to what it used to be, I'd probably do it. And it's those same people that have been in Congress for 20, 30, 40, and 50 years who have always done it that way. So I call it the we've always done it this way bias. Well, I don't think it's worked all that well. It really hasn't. So that's what caused the 2016 election, was a lot of people like me saying, this ain't cutting it anymore. We've always done it this way. Isn't going to fly. So every time I hear about a Republican or a Democrat announcing their retirement, I just get happy. We need new blood. We need term limits. And in the interim, we need to solve the problems. So me, the original free trader, and I was the most gung-ho NAFTA supporter you ever want to see in your life, because in theory, it is the only way to run an economy. In practice, we didn't do a good job. We need people who understand that sometimes you have to correct a problem, but your first objective should be to let it go as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
That's
that
my
sense.
Feeling about tariffs.
And I'm a big free trade person as well. And
that's why so both of us struggled. Were hesitant on
I struggled with it. Yeah, I know. And that was one of the main reasons that I struggled with the decision of who I wanted to vote for in the primaries. And because I just don't agree with the thought of us becoming a protectionist country and doing everything locally. All that can lead to is higher prices for me, my family, my friends, all of us, everyone listening today. So, but targeted like this, I'd like to see what happens. I mean, I'm okay with him giving it a shot.
It makes it easier to wrap your brain around when you start Googling tariffs of the past 10, 20, 30 years, mm-hmm. and you find that they have been doing exactly what I was describing. They've been targeting problems, fixing them, and going away. And then our industries start to come back and people get hired again. And if there's one thing we need, it's more and more working people. Good morning, Don.
Hey, y'all talking the good stuff here this morning, but let me ask you some questions.
Thanks,
what
Don.
What do you think this JEA sale is all about?
Oh, good question. I don't know if we're going to have time to answer that today, though.
Can we take it up first thing next Saturday morning?
Yeah, but let me tell you something.
Okay.
It ain't right. It ain't right at all. The people own that.
Well, I'm going to plead total ignorance right now. And I will promise you that we will be able to discuss this with some capability next Saturday morning at 10, and we'll start it out right at the top of the show, if you'd like. I'd love hearing from you, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again next week.
Right on.
Thank you. All right, we got your homework assignment, right?
I am putting in a to-do for this week to come up with the reasons behind it and what's going on with that.
Good. Well, this show has flown by, as so many of them tend to do. Next week, we'll pick up a whole bunch of topics or several things we didn't get to today, but that's fine because I like talking about what you like to talk about. See you next week. This is the Bandway Financial Hour.